I wasn't supposed to preach 2 weeks ago, and I wasn't supposed to preach tonight. And these are my favorite kind of messages because God just says, hey, you're up. And this morning I was driving to work, and I got the you're up call, and same way as 2 weeks ago. And I live 10 minutes away from the church, and I say, God, you already have the message, and so just give it to me before I get to the building. And that was while I was driving in this morning, and he reminded me of what I've always known about this reality. And I jotted down these 5 points. I have spoken them to people in this room many a times. This is not going to be the first time some of you hear them, even from me. But we're starting a series called You Asked For It. So if you don't like this sermon, you asked for it. No, I love the You Asked For It series because this is the reality. All of us want to know things from the Lord. We want to understand things from Scripture. We want to walk how He intends for us to walk. But the truth is, a lot of us are too afraid to ask. And there is something about the anonymity of giving you a sheet of paper with nothing on it and saying, whatever you want to ask, you can ask it. And then y'all all ask similar things. And this always happens, even when we do it church-wide. And I went over a lot of your questions with Pastor AJ. I know a lot of people on staff looked at many of the questions. We don't know who asked what, but this was a central theme to your questioning. Okay, you ready? Is everyone ready for it? I love feedback. If you don't talk back to me, I'll talk back to myself. Come on, somebody. Are you ready for it? Okay. This was the big question that came up over and over again in different words, different phrases. Maybe it was about specifics in your life. What is God's will for my life? Or how do I know the will of God for me? Now, some of you were talking about your jobs and careers. Other of you were talking about your relationships. Like, I mean, is this my, you know what I'm saying? Are we, a lot of you were talking about dating, but the central theme in many of the questions was how do you know God's will for your life? How do I know this is what He's leading me to? Don't worry about that. How do I know if this is what God's calling me to? How am I supposed to know in my season of life, in my place of life, I'm getting out of college, I'm going into college. I don't know what to major in. How do I know God's will for my life? There's this reoccurring theme in your questioning. What is God's will for me? I mean, did anybody else switch majors their fourth year of school? Or was that just me? I did that. I got to 4 years, my senior year of college, and I'm like, maybe not. Let's try something else. And so we all have this desire. God, we want to know what your will is. And what I want you to know tonight from the Word of God, by the way, you need to take notes on this message. You need to get out a pen. You need to get out your phone. You need to get out your mascara. You need to get out your eyebrow liner. We know those aren't your eyebrows. Get out your eyebrow liner. I'm playing. I'm having too much fun tonight. Okay, get out your whatever you need and write this down. Please, saints, write this down. God has a word for you, okay? I gotta calm down tonight. Sorry, Pastor AJ. We're gonna be good. Okay. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Listen to this. Do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's the part most of you know. Listen. So that then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good and pleasing and perfect will. I came to tell you tonight that God has a will for your life, and He wants you to know it. God has a will that's good and pleasing and perfect, and it is possible, maybe even probable, to spend your entire life walking in something other than God's perfect will for your life. As much as God has a will for your life, the enemy has a plan to destroy your life. And it is possible, maybe probable, for you to spend your life walking in a plan that's destroying you. And so the question is that you asked in different ways, how can you know the will of God for your life? When I was thinking about this in the car this morning, I thought about different things that program our lives. And just like a computer, you can any geeks, nerds in the room, come on, own it proud. Saints, that you could make a lot of money. Own that, okay? If you're just like a computer nerd, you're a gamer, you're really into that type of stuff, you know programming matters. Because what you program in is what will come out. Okay, let me try another example. Anybody ever, my pop had this in his car, anybody ever have a dial radio? You know, it's like static, 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 and you're just like trying to find it right, and then all of a sudden you dial it in, and that station comes through. And I'm telling you that there is a reality tonight where you can tune your ear to hear the will of God for you. Let me try one more. The world is trying to input all of these things in our lives. And I love music. And I have such a respect for sound engineers or producers. But the reality is, more accurate than like a dial radio trying to tune in, I think your life looks like the vast array of a soundboard or production engineering or a music studio. And it's not about just getting one knob right. It's about turning down all the right, all the wrong things and bringing up all the right things so that the unity and the beauty of the sound can come through. And so, in that kind of analogy, I believe that there are five channels that you have to dial in your life in order to understand and know the will of God for you. I want to show you all five of these channels biblically. I have way too much reference point for this message tonight. And then I want to show it all to you in one passage of scripture just to show you how it comes together in one story. I could have done this in many places. The five channels that you need to bring into clarity to know the will of God. Number one, the commands of God. The commands of, listen, I come from three generations of Southern Baptist preachers, okay? You better believe tonight is, what's it called? When everything starts with the same letters? Alliteration! You better believe tonight is alliterated like an old message. Come on, I'm giving somebody some beauty tonight. Number one, the commands of God. The commands of God. You will never get beyond knowing and walking in the Word of God, in the Scriptures. If you want to know the will of God for your life, know the Word. Know the Word. I could give you so many verses. Psalm 119, 105, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For the word of God is living and active. It's sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates, even dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. I could give you 2 Timothy 3, verse 16 and 17. Y'all know these scriptures. Come on. All scripture is God-breathed, and it is useful. It is profitable for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Listen to this. So that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. A lot of people come up and ask, Pastor, help me figure it out. What is the will of God for my life? And my question is, before we get to what you don't know, are you walking in what you do know? You want God to give you something else, but you haven't walked in what he's already spoken. You want to walk against his word and simultaneously receive all that he has for you. It doesn't work like that. The first channel that you have to tune yourself to and get in alignment with is the commands of God. And all throughout scripture, he has given us what his will is. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16, rejoice always and pray continually. Give thanks in every circumstance, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3, for this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you would abstain from sexual immorality. I'm going to say something hard, and I'm going to make this note because it was something I got wrong for years. You cannot walk in sexual immorality and simultaneously beg God to reveal to you what his will is for your life. He won't do it. Because you've got to get this thing right first. You know what his will is? Your sanctification. And so be holy as he is holy. I can give you 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 15. This is the will of God, that by doing good you should silence the ignorance of foolish people. I could give you John chapter 6, verse 40. Jesus says, for this is the will of my Father. This is the will of God, that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him should have eternal life. So my question is, before we get to other channels, what does the Word of God, how does the Word of God have prevalence in your life? What kind of time do you give it? What kind of attention do you give it? What kind of preeminence do you give it? Are you following in his word? Do you know his word? Do you spend time in his word? Do you want to know the will of God? Start there. Start there. Go home and elevate the word of God in your life and make sure every single day of your life you are walking in his word. Number one, the first channel, the commands of God. Number two, the community of God. I'm not going to belabor this point because I think Pastor preached it so beautifully. On Sunday, talking about Jonathan and David, but you were made to be in community with other people. My favorite line from Sunday's sermon, church is not an event to come to, it's a family to belong to. Do you want to know the will of God? Surround yourself with the people of God. I could say Acts chapter 2, verse 42, we know this, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. But listen to this. All believers were together and had all things in common. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. Let us consider how we might stir one another up toward love and good deeds, not giving up or forsaking meeting together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as we see the day approaching. Galatians chapter 6, verse 2, carry each other's burdens and in this way fulfill the law of God. Romans chapter 12, verse 4, each of you has one body with many members, and so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to the other. Do you want to know God's will for your life? Surround yourself with the right people. God has a way of using other people as his mouthpiece to speak into your life. But beware, because so does the enemy. And most of us actually know more what it's like to experience the second. I mean, how many times has somebody looked at you and said, hey, you ought to come, you ought to go to, you ought to, why don't you try, you need to be with, and they speak these things into your life and all kinds of destruction and havoc and sin patterns are developed in your life. But have you ever experienced what it's like when a brother says in Christ, hey, have you thought about, hey, I see in you. Hey, when we were praying just now, God showed me there is something unbelievably beautiful and sovereign and spirit-filled when the people of God dwell with one another. God loves to speak to us about each other. I would say two things. Number one, be faithful when God speaks to you about someone to go to them. I had someone say this morning, I just had this thought. A friend of mine had a dream. I had a dream about such and such, and this is what happened. What should I do? I said, pick up the phone and say, hey, does this mean something to you? Because most of us are so afraid of stepping out in faith and saying what we're thinking. We just think it's a passing thought. We just think it's the Mexican food we had last night. And we don't realize, no, God said, I see brothers, I see sisters dwelling together. And so I'm going to speak through their friends to get to them. And so my question is, what type of circle of friends surrounds you? It's unbelievable that when you plant even bad things like weeds in good soil, they flourish. And I want you to know, if you would just plant your life in the right place with the right people, you would be overwhelmed at what God could do. And I can't tell you, that gets me, because I can't tell you how personal that's been to me. And I'm not even sure I wanted to be planted there most days. But God just said, this is where I have you. Dig in, root yourself here, and watch what I do. Number one, it's the commands of God. Number two, it's the community of God. Number three, the circumstances of God. I had originally phrased these when I wrote them in the car different ways. I had phrased it the commands of God, the community of the church. Number three, the circumstances of our lives. And as I started getting this point prepared, I realized, nope, the circumstances of God. We're tuning ourselves to the channels of God to hear his voice and his leading in the will of God in our lives. And I really believe that many of us miss the fact that the Lord is sovereignly in control of the circumstances of our lives. Somebody needs to hear that again. The Lord is sovereignly in control of the circumstances of our lives. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 9. In their hearts, humans plan their own course, but the Lord establishes their steps. Proverbs 19, verse 21, many are the plans of people, but if the Lord purposes, then it will prevail. Romans chapter 8, verse 28, you know this, but I just need to say it out loud so you hear it again. For we know, not hope, not wish, not pray, for we know that all things. How many things? All things. What about the things in your life you don't want right now? All of them. For we know that all things work together for good to those who love him and who have been called according to his purpose. Listen to me. In the good and in the bad things of life, God is leading you sovereignly through circumstances to get you to what he wants most in your life. And even as I say it, I'm burdened for you, because I know what it was like being a son at the bedside of a mom with brain tumors, given months to live. I've been there, and he was working there. You know, he works all things together for good. If it already was good, he wouldn't have to work it for good. The verse reads into it that he's working bad things in your life for his glory, for our good. I've been in situations where I watched the world walk away from me and abandon me, but God was there. I watched my hopes and my plans for a life and a career fall apart, and God was working in the midst of it. In fact, I was driving back, darkest day of my life. I'm going to tell this whole story one time, or it's going to come out in a book, so read it. I'm messing around. Ethan, I'm wild. You got to watch me, dude. I'm wild. I'm too ADD. But one of these days, I'm going to tell this whole story. God's going to free me to tell it. But it was the worst day in my entire life. And I had to drive cross country 20-something hours by myself. And I got in my car, and I had a friend call me out of nowhere. Just a faithful brother. I told you, God will use the people that you surround yourself with. And it was somebody that I had intentionally planted myself under in college. I wanted to be like, he could quote entire chapters of scripture. I wanted to be so close to him. I wanted to know what he knew. I wanted to find what he had found. And I had to be close to him. And I invited myself to his Bible study. And I would go sit in his dorm room at night and listen to him talk about the Bible. I said, hey, when do you study the Bible? He said, I study it every night before I go to sleep. I said, can I come? And he said, yeah. And I would go down there and sit in his room and just listen to him read the word of God out loud and talk through it. And it was that friend. Worst day of my life. I'm driving across the country and by myself. And he called me. He said, hey, hey, hey. He's real obnoxious. I have super obnoxious friends because that's who gets along with me. But I don't know why. Me and AJ are like. And he called me. He said, hey, what are you doing? And I said, I'm driving on the interstate, and I didn't say anything to him. And he said, I just read a scripture, and God said, call Daniel. And I thought ministry was over, and I thought my life was over. And he didn't know this, but in that moment, I was contemplating suicide. And he said, Micah 6:8, you will not rejoice over me, my enemy, for though I fall, yet I will rise. The Lord will be a light unto me. I will bear the indignation of the Lord because I've sinned greatly against him, which was true. But he will vindicate me. And in the moment of my life where I needed the voice of God to speak louder than ever, when I needed the will of God to prevail everything else, when I needed to know there was still a purpose and there was still a plan for my life, God had the right person at the right time in the right circumstance to speak into my life. And I'm telling you that he is sovereignly orchestrating the circumstances of your life. Revelations 3 says, he shuts doors no one can open, and he opens doors nobody can shut. And I want you to learn tonight that you better start praising God for doors that are slamming in your face and for doors that are swinging wide open, even if you don't want them. Well, like, I didn't want this job. Here it is. I didn't want this path. You got it. And you got to learn it. I'm married now, so I can say this. I wasn't thankful then, but tonight I'm real grateful for some girls that broke up with me. You know why? It was leading me to who God had for me. Some of y'all don't realize it now, but that job that you lost, you didn't want anyways. You just don't know it. God has a way, even in hard moments, of using slam doors and open doors to get you right where he wants you. And what many of us call rejection is actually it's God's redirection in our lives. And you thought the world was shutting you out. You thought that career was closed. You thought that that was the company you always wanted to work for. You thought that was the person you wanted to be with for the rest of your life. And God said, no, 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 no. Let me shut this door because I got another one opening. God uses the circumstances of our lives to lead us to his will. And tonight, I just wonder, are you fighting the very things he's doing? And because of that, it's keeping you from what he has for you. What circumstances of your life do you need to pay attention to realize where God's trying to direct you? Number four, it's not just the commands of God or the community of God, the circumstances of God, but number four, the call of God. And I love this one. I could do a whole sermon series about this one thought. God doesn't only have a call for all Christians. He has a call for your life. Yeah, he wants everybody to build his kingdom. Yeah, he wants everybody to make him known. Yes, yes, and amen. But friend, before you were formed in the womb, he had works prepared for you to walk in. He had a plan laid out for your life. Not one of your days has been had that weren't already written in his book. And I wonder tonight, beyond the general call of God for all believers, do you have the call of God on your life? I think about Moses in a burning bush. I think about Abraham, who was called out to go to a city he did not know whose builder and maker was God. I think about Isaiah, that scripture says was a prophet to the nations, but listen to me. Through the sovereign word of God, he became the prophet to nations for all time. And in Isaiah chapter 6, he has a vision and a call. And the Lord says, who shall I send and who will go for me? And Isaiah says, me. You got to send me. I think about Samuel as a little boy who's laying there trying to go to sleep. And he hears a voice calling his name. And he has the courage to respond back in the middle of the night. Speak, your servant is listening. And God took this little boy and made him a priest in the household of God. I think about the prophet Jeremiah. I got to quote it, what scripture says about him. The Lord says, before I formed you, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. And I have appointed you as a prophet to the nations. I think about Jonah, even who got away from God's, because there's people here tonight, you haven't been walking in God's will for your life. You have a call on your life you're running from. And that's okay. Because God has a well that can become a taxi with your name on it. And he'll take you right back to where you were meant to be. Some of y'all ran and he brought you back. And now you just need to surrender. I think about Saul on the road to Damascus, who's blinded by a light. And this is what the Lord says in Acts chapter 9. Go, for this man has become my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and the people of Israel. I think about a little boy in Reed Creek, Georgia, 11 years old, standing on his grandfather's farm. And he jumped up on a hay bale after he had worked. And he saw people in a vision on a hillside. And the Lord said, preach my word. And that little boy gets up on a stage every Sunday morning and preaches to a room full of people, Grant Etheridge, because of a vision he had when he was 11 years old where the Lord said, I'm sending you. There are dreams, come on, Melissa. There are dreams and visions that I've had my entire life. And over the last few weeks and months, God's been bringing them back. I'm talking even as I'm sleeping, bringing them back. And I've been buckling up saying, Lord, here we go. Because all my life you've been calling me to this. Do you know what that is? What is that in your life? Because that is a channel that you've got to tune your ear to hear. Because the Lord doesn't yell, he whispers. A lot of you want this big, miraculous work from God. And you want him to write it on the wall, or you want him to send a whale, or you want him to have your best friend tell you. But can I tell you something? Many times we miss it because he is so close and intimate. In order to hear him, you got to get close enough to hear him. And I wonder if there's just not somebody in here who needs to go back to their prayer closet, who needs to kneel at the foot of their bed, who needs to go lay down in the stillness of their room and say, God, whisper it to me. I'm listening. Well, his voice is so personal and so intimate. And the call of God tonight is still coming after us. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 21. Whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way. Walk in it. And you need to not get up or let up or stop showing up until you hear him. I started a new thing when I spend time with God in the mornings, and sometimes it's hard because I'm not closing that book till I hear his voice. Some of you have been reading the Bible long enough, you're just like, yeah, he's talking. And I'm like, no, friend, he's talking to you. So if I read and I don't see it, or I read and I don't hear it, or I read and I don't sense it, I say, we're not moving. Because I came to meet with you. And if you don't give me a word today, if you don't tell me where to go today, if you don't show me what to do, I'm liable to do the wrong thing. You need the call. And the caller is the keeper. The one who has spoke it will see you to the end. He started it, he'll finish it. And so you need to get close to hear him. The final channel, the confirmation of God. The confirmation of God. I got to tell you, God does not want to keep his will hidden from you. Hear me say it. God does not. You think God is up there like this cosmic gamer, like messing with you. Friend, he doesn't want to keep his will hidden from you. But you got to get some of these channels tuned in. He is willing and he is able to confirm his will for your life. And I'm going to tell you, you need him to. Some of the greatest things that I'm walking in today are the times he spoke 3 and 4 and 5 times, 10 times over again. It's the calling he gets up and reaffirms every morning. Like, hey, I'm still here. Are we still doing it? Okay, here we go. You need the confirmation of God continually. the verse that we started with, Romans 12, 2, says that you would be able to test and discern what his will is. James chapter 1 says, if anyone lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all, and it will be given to you. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, dear friends, don't believe every spirit, but test the spirit to see whether it comes from God. I would take you to the biblical example of Gideon in Judges chapter 6. Many of you know this. God comes to Gideon and says, you're going to be my deliverer for the people of Israel. And he says, if you really mean that, I'm going to need you to confirm it. And in Genesis 6, 36, he says, I love this. Gideon says to God, if you will save Israel by my hand, as you have said, then behold, I'm laying a fleece of wool on the threshing floor. And if there's dew on the fleece alone and it's dry on the ground, then I'll know that you will save Israel by my hand, as you have said. Verse 38, and it was so. What a great verse. And Gideon's still scared. And so then watch what happens. He arose the next morning. He squeezed the fleece and wrung it out. Because when God speaks, he wants you to know. And Gideon said, hey, can you make the fleece wet when everything else is dry? And God says, mm-hmm. And he gets up the next morning. He gets that fleece. You got to read the Bible. He gets that fleece and he wrings it out. And he said, okay. Listen to 39. Don't be angry against me. But can I speak once more? Let me test you one more time. And let the dry be on the fleece only, and all the ground let there be dew. And God did so that very night. And it was dry on the fleece only, and all over the ground there was dew. And the next verse says, and Gideon went. And some of you are just waiting on this confirmation from God, and he wants to give it to you. And you've been told your whole life, you can't test God. You can't put God to the test. The Bible says, don't put God to the test. I want to tell you where that verse is, because context matters. Deuteronomy chapter 6 says, and you shall not test the Lord your God as you tested him in the desert. The testing that it talks about there is not asking God to confirm his will. The testing that it's talking about is, don't test my patience. Do you want to keep walking in sin and see if I won't pour out judgment? Do you want to keep walking in sin and see if I can't punish my children? That's what it's talking about. And in that case, I would say the Bible says, hey, don't test the Lord in that way. But people will I've heard a preacher preach this passage in about Gideon and say, yeah, he shouldn't have put the Lord to the test. It never says that. And in fact, I could take you story after story in other places of Scripture where individuals asked for God to confirm what he was doing. And I have prayed so many times in my life because my dad used to pray it. Left up to myself, I'm going to make the wrong decision. So would you make the decision for me? God, shut every door that's not of you and open the only path that's your perfect, pleasing will. And some of y'all need to pray that. God, I want, write this down with your mascara. God, I don't want no man except the one you have for me. And so I don't even want a guy to ask me out. I don't want a guy to approach me until it's the husband you have waiting for me. I did a wedding last week where am I allowed to say this? I said it, so I'm going to say it. Sorry, Steph. Sorry, Nat. I love them. They're on their honeymoon. She had a dream that she was his wife, but they were not dating. And so she said, that was in April, God, if this is you, show him. And 2 months later, Steph woke up in the middle of the night. You know what he saw? Nat. In a wedding dress, standing in front of him. And he called her, because why not? And he called her and he said, hey, you ain't gonna believe what I just dreamed. And he said, what do you think about that? And she said, I need to go, I gotta pray. This is a true story. she said, I need to go. I got to pray, because she wanted to know if she was allowed to tell him. And that's why they've been weird from the start, because from before they went on their first date, she was like, God told me 2 months ago that I was going to be your wife, and I told him to show you. And then you had that dream and called me and told me, so we're getting married. And then they came to me. This is a true story, y'all. And then they came to me and said, should we, like, date? Or how does this work from here? He's like, I mean, I think we should go on some dates and get to know each other, but we're going to get married. And I said at their wedding what he said to me. I always knew how it was going to work out in the end. I just wasn't sure how God was going to put it together on the way. And I have that right now. I have words from God. I have visions from God. I've had moments like Joseph. Got a dream from God as a kid. By the way, a dream most people couldn't receive, because they never like it when you say it early, because they're not ready. So just don't say it early. And I don't know how it's going to get there, but I know we're getting there. Why? Because he's put a call on my life, and he's confirmed it over and over. And every day he opens circumstances to lead me to where he wants me. And you ought to start telling God, I need you to confirm what I'm walking in. I want you to do it. We're like a Moses in the Old Testament. They've sinned against God, sinned against God, sinned against God. And God told Moses, I'm sending you on, but I'm not going with you. And you know what Moses says? I'm not leaving unless you go with us. Because he wasn't married to a place or a people or a vision or where God was sending him. He wasn't married to an idea of what he wanted his life to look like or reality that he dreamed to walk in. He was completely consecrated, totally married, completely abandoned to following God. So he said, if this cloud doesn't lift, we don't go. If this pillar of fire disappears, I'm not going. It's the confidence of the book of Acts. When Philip is in the middle of a revival and thousands of people are getting saved, you go read this chapter. I can't remember the chapter and verse, but Philip is in the middle of revival. And listen, he was caught up by the Spirit and taken to the wilderness. The Lord just said, I got a new place for you. Can you imagine that moment? What if you followed God with that kind of abandonment? Like, okay, here we go. I don't know where we're going, but we're going. Oh, wait, there's a guy here in a chariot. Well, you place me here and him here, so I'm supposed to go talk to him. And the gospel goes to Ethiopia because the Spirit joins Philip to a chariot where somebody's reading the scrolls of the prophet Isaiah. And Philip said, do you know what you're reading? That kind of abandonment, that kind of confirmation. You want to know the will of God? You've got to tune the channels of your life to be able to test and discern what his good and perfect and pleasing will is. Well, it starts by following the commands of God and planting yourself in the community of God and understanding the circumstances that God's working. Well, God will show you his will through the call that he places on your life and through the way he confirms what he's doing over and over again. Do you want to know the will of God? He wants you to know it. He wants you to know it. He doesn't want one more day of you wandering and stumbling and lost and confused and frustrated and hurting. He wants you to know it. Before you leave this place tonight, he wants you to tune the channels of your life to be able to hear and receive it. I'm going to end with this passage. I want to show you. I struggled with which section of verses to take this from or which story in the Bible to teach this. But I want to show you all of these channels at work in the life of Paul in Acts chapter 15, verse 6. I'm only going to read you a few verses and then we're done. Acts chapter 15, verse 6. Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region. And I mean, my goodness, could they make any harder words to read? Galatia and the other places. Listen to this next line. This is so important. And he was kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word I mean, does that verse belong in the Bible? And he was kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. Next verse. And when they came to the border of Mysia and entered into Bithynia, the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them there. Now you got to hear this, because twice in two verses, it said the Spirit didn't allow him to preach the word. Is preaching the word a good thing? Is it the calling of his life? Yes. But the Spirit doesn't allow him to go there. And so they passed by and went down to Troas. And during the night, Paul had a vision. A man from Macedonia standing before him, begging, come over to Macedonia and help us. This is how plain the word of God and the will of God will speak into your life. Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, come over to Macedonia and help us. Verse 10. And after Paul had seen the vision, who's we? Well, he and his companions. Silas is already with him at this point. We got ready and left at once for Macedonia. For we concluded that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. Do you see all five channels? They're preaching the word of God. Their life and their ministry is built around the truth of the word. They're with other brothers and sisters, traveling from place to place, from province to province. Not choosing where they'll go next, but allowing the Spirit to take them where they're going. And all of a sudden, the circumstances start changing around them. Paul says, hey, let's go preach to Asia. That's where God wants the gospel. And the Spirit forbid them. He said, okay, let's go over here to Bithynia. The Spirit forbid them. And so he went to sleep. And in the night, a vision came, a dream from God, a Macedonian saying, begging, come preach to us. And so they decided together, let's go to Macedonia. What the next few verses account is how they got there. They had to go. They had to sail from there and go to another place. You know what started happening? Doors started swinging open. And the Spirit started saying, you're going there. All five channels in one man's life coming together to show and confirm the will of God. Friend, he'll do it for you. Even now, do you want to know the will of God? I want the band to come up. Don't ignore this moment. It's the most important time of the whole service. You know what they look like. Don't get distracted by them. You know my preference here. I think many people cry in an altar, and they probably cried in an altar too many times, and they actually just need to obey God. And so what channel do you need to correct in your life tonight? If you're walking in sin or disobedient to the word, if you're ignoring the commands of God, repent. Repent. That's your starting place. If you've got the wrong people in your life, the step you need to take is separating yourself from them and then praying and asking God to bring the right people. You need to plant yourself in the household of God. What circumstances are you fighting tonight? You're mad, you're frustrated, you're pouting about it. Friend, he's working through that. That closed door is a yes and amen. And that open door is a yes and amen. We're going with it. Thank you, God. What is the call of God? Listen to me. So many people, you just love, you love God. You love God. You love God. You need to plant yourself and say, I'm not moving until you place a call on my life with clarity. I need to be able to write it down and hold on to it and walk in it. And some of you have that word, and tonight your prayer is confirm it, confirm it, confirm it. If this is the one, confirm it. If this is the job, confirm it. If this is your word, confirm. I'm packing up my car, you better confirm it. I'm not going back to school, you better confirm it. Because we're not going if you're not going. God, I'm not going if you're not going. And so, Holy Spirit, the best way that I know how, I've taught what you've given me. And I've tried to be so faithful to how you've spoken it to me. But I'm asking you now to move in our hearts. Spirit of the living God, would you fall fresh on us? We're asking even right now for clarity of mind and thought to know what to change and how to change it. Right now, if God's speaking to you something specific, I want to tell you, you need to physically move. You can kneel at your chair. You can come to the altar. You can make anywhere in this room an altar. You can stand straight up and lift your hands to heaven. But if he's speaking something with clarity, you move physically right now as a signal to him that you're ready to receive and walk in what he said. Move now. What's he speaking to you? You respond to him. You don't need this song. You don't need the music to play to get you worked up. You need to say, I'm obeying because I already heard you. I heard you and I'm obeying. Holy Spirit, we're positioning ourselves for you. We're positioning ourselves to experience what you have for us. And we want your good and pleasing and perfect will. And we want all of you and nothing else. We're going to be satisfied with what you have for us and nothing else. We're not looking to the things of the world or to wells that never satisfy. We're not going after things that you don't have for us. Or we're not pulling on doors that you've already shut. We're positioning ourselves for what you have. And we hear you saying, this is the way. And so we're walking in it. And we're hearing your call. And so we're surrendered to it. We want to be used by you. And so we're surrendering to you. And for every person that's run, God, would you wear their legs out so they can't run anymore? There's nowhere else. There's nowhere else. Where can I go from your presence? God, we're positioning ourselves, surrendering to your will. We're receiving your call. And Lord, we're waiting on your confirmation. And so we wouldn't presume with any amount of arrogance to test you in ways that make us question you or who you are. You're good, you're faithful, you're holy, you're righteous. If you say it, that's enough. But we just don't want to go anywhere without you. And so we're asking, here's something we're laying before you. So confirm it, please. So that we know you're leading. And wherever your spirit leads, we're going. God, even as we worship and pray now, would you receive it? It's unto you. We rebuke every spirit that's not the Holy Spirit and forbid the enemy try to steal the seed of this word. We don't want the cares of the world to choke it out. So make it an obsession in our minds and hearts. And make us fall so madly in love with you that no other lovers would ever do. God, receive our worship. Meet with us now. In Jesus' holy, precious name, we pray.